理课堂听 class.com。
Task 3. Listen to the tape and do the following exercises. Bad reading habits and how to break them. 1. Listen to the following passage twice and then complete the list below. The University of Alabama, Center for Teaching and Learning. 124 Osband, 348-5175.To really get rid of a bad habit, you should replace it with a good one. You have to want to get rid of the bad habit, and you must practice and work at it in order to change. The following are some of the bad habits which tend to cause people to read slowly. Ask yourself whether you are guilty of any of the following. A. Moving your lips when you read.Moving your lips slows you to a fast talking rate, about 150 words per minute. Put your fingers on your lips to stop the motion. B. Vocalizing. Vocalizing means that you are pronouncing words in the voice box of the throat without making sounds. This also slows your reading rate to that of speaking. To check, rest your fingertips lightly against the vocal cord area of your throat.If you feel a vibration, or if you find that your tongue is moving, you are vocalizing. C. Reading everything at the same speed. When reading, set your rate according to your purpose for reading and the difficulty level of the material. Practice adjusting your rate to suit your material. The more difficult the material, the slower the rate. D. Regressing out of habit.Regressing means rereading a word, phrase, or sentence out of habit and not because of need. Sometimes it is necessary to reread something, especially in a difficult passage. But habitual, unnecessary regressing really slows you down. Use a card or paper to cover the text after you read it to prevent regressing. E. Reading one word at a time.Do you think one word at a time or in phrases? Slow readers tend to see only one word at a time. Good readers will see several words at a time, and their eyes will stop only three or four times as they move across a page. Reading in idea phrases speeds your reading and improves your understanding of what you have read. Mark the phrases in the sentences of a passage.Then practice seeing more than one word at a time. The best way to read faster is to practice reading just a little faster than is comfortable. Changing reading habits is not easy. After all, you have been reading that way for many years. It takes several weeks of conscious effort in order to change bad reading habits. For more information on increasing reading speed, contact the Center for Teaching and Learning.The University of Alabama, Center for Teaching and Learning. 124 Osband, 348-5175. To really get rid of a bad habit, you should replace it with a good one. You have to want to get rid of the bad habit, and you must practice and work at it in order to change.The following are some of the bad habits which tend to cause people to read slowly. Ask yourself whether you are guilty of any of the following. A. Moving your lips when you read. Moving your lips slows you to a fast talking rate, about 150 words per minute. Put your fingers on your lips to stop the motion. B. Vocalizing.Vocalizing means that you are pronouncing words in the voice box of the throat without making sounds. This also slows your reading rate to that of speaking. To check, rest your fingertips lightly against the vocal cord area of your throat. If you feel a vibration, or if you find that your tongue is moving, you are vocalizing. C. reading everything at the same speed. When reading, set your rate according to your purpose for reading and the difficulty level of the material. Practice adjusting your rate to suit your material. The more difficult the material, the slower the rate. D. Regressing out of habit. Regressing means rereading a word, phrase, or sentence out of habit and not because of need. Sometimes it is necessary to reread something, especially in a difficult passage. But habitual, unnecessary regressing really slows you down. Use a card or paper to cover the text after you read it to prevent regressing. E. Reading one word at a time. Do you think one word at a time or in phrases? Slow readers tend to see only one word at a time. Good readers will see several words at a time, and their eyes will stop only three or four times as they move across a page. Reading in idea phrases speeds your reading and improves your understanding of what you have read. Mark the phrases in the sentences of a passage, then practice seeing more than one word at a time. The best way to read faster is to practice reading just a little faster than is comfortable. Changing reading habits is not easy. After all, you have been reading that way for many years. It takes several weeks of conscious effort in order to change bad reading habits. For more information on increasing reading speed, contact the Center for Teaching and Learning. Part 3, Listening Strategy, Note-Taking 1, Introduction and Note-Taking Formats. Task 1, listen to the following advice on note-taking. Then, to figure out an outline for good note-taking, complete the note-taking strategies below as a flow diagram.
Before the lecture. If you know the subject of the lecture, do some background reading beforehand. This way you will go into the lecture with a better understanding and find it easier to distinguish the points worth noting. Read through the notes of the previous lecture in the series just before the present one begins. This helps orientate your thoughts to the subject at hand, especially if you have just come from a lecture on a completely different subject. During the lecture, think of a lecture as an active learning process rather than a passive secretarial exercise. Writing verbatim what the lecturer says or copying everything down from overheads does not involve much thought, and subsequent reading of these notes often makes little sense. Try to give them some structure by using headings and subheadings, by highlighting or underlining key ideas, and realizing the links between them. Alternative noting forms to linear notes, such as flow diagrams or star charts, can be used, although these are often more helpful when revising your notes. The lecturer may give handouts to accompany the lecture. In this case, you don't need to make copious notes of your own. Again, listen to what is being said and annotate the handout with any extra information. It gives you more time to think and perhaps raise questions of your own. On the subject of questions, it is commonly believed by students that lecturers are not to be interrupted when they are in full flow. You may find that this isn't always the case. And there is nothing wrong with asking individual lecturers if they don't mind taking questions during the lecture. It is best to establish this at the beginning of the course of lectures.
After the lecture. The best time to review your lecture notes is immediately following the lecture. The sooner you do it, with the lecture still fresh in your mind, the better chance you have to produce a good set of notes for revision. Transforming your lecture notes by using a different noting form can sometimes make them clearer, e.g., a flow diagram. Highlight key points. Produce summaries for revision purposes. Think how this topic relates to previous ones or to other courses that you are studying, and begin to recognize themes and relationships. Meet with a few friends after lectures to discuss the lecture topic and answer each other's questions. Discussion with your peers often leads to a better understanding of a subject, which in turn makes it easier to remember. Storing your notes. A little time spent at this stage in organizing your notes will make life much easier when you come to revise from them some months later. Numbering pages, making a contents page, or using dividers in your file will all make your notes more accessible. Task 2. Listen to the following lecture on note-taking. Then complete the Cornell note format chart below to figure out the outline, main idea, and summary of this talk.
Now that we have discussed the importance of and ideas about note-taking, let's take a look at some possible methods for taking notes. At the same time, we will get some tips for taking notes. 1. Choose a format that is comfortable for you, but make sure that it is easy to see the difference between main ideas and details. Some ways to write headings. Use capital letters. Use a box. Put the heading in a circle in the center of a page with the lines for detail extending out. Underline. Some ways to write details. Indent below heading and use dashes. Indent below heading and use bullets. 2. The Cornell method. The Cornell method provides a systematic format for condensing and organizing notes without laborious recopying. After writing the notes in the main space, use the left-hand space to label each idea and detail with a key word or cue. Method. Rule your paper with a 2-inch margin on the left, leaving a 6-inch area on the right in which to make notes. During class, take down information in the 6-inch area. When the instructor moves to a new point, skip a few lines. After class, complete phrases and sentences as much as possible. For every significant bit of information, write a cue in the left margin. To review, cover your notes with a card, leaving the cues exposed. Say the cue out loud, then say as much as you can of the material underneath the card. When you have said as much as you can, move the card and see if what you said matches what is written. If you can say it, you know it. Advantages: organized and systematic for recording and reviewing notes. Easy format for pulling out major concepts and ideas. Simple and efficient, saves time and effort. Do it right in the first place system. Disadvantages? None. When to use? In any lecture situation.
Part 4. Extensive listening. Task 1. Listen to the tape and do the following exercises. 1. Listen to the following report at least 3 times. Then complete the Cornell format chart below to help you gain a better understanding of what you've heard. Who's driving? College students' choices of transportation home after drinking. Legal and educational interventions have generally been ineffective in reducing alcohol use among college students. The majority of underage students continue to drink despite drinking age laws. College alcohol use policies aimed at decreasing drinking opportunities on campuses may also have increased the likelihood that students will drink off campus, a change that may place students at risk when returning to campus residences after consuming alcohol. This study explored how college students were returning to on-campus housing after attending off-campus parties and visiting bars, and the extent to which they placed themselves at risk for alcohol-related traffic fatalities. A survey of drinking behavior, off-campus alcohol consumption, and transportation home was conducted by telephone with 402 students living on campus at a large southeastern university. Blood alcohol concentrations, BACs, were estimated based on reported number of drinks. Participants were determined to have placed themselves at risk for an alcohol-related traffic fatality if the estimated BAC was at least 0.05 and they reported driving themselves home or reported being driven home with a driver they perceived as alcohol-impaired. Over 75% of survey respondents were under 21, and 80% indicated that they had consumed alcohol in the past. Bars were the most frequent choice for off-campus drinking, followed by friends' houses and parties. The results indicate that over 80% of respondents reported attending a drinking event in the weeks preceding the survey. Of this group, over half left the setting alcohol impaired based on the BAC estimations. Males and students younger than 21 were significantly more likely to be impaired than were females and older students. Of the group judged to be alcohol impaired, 27% indicated at-risk behavior. Those placing themselves at risk were nearly twice as likely to report being driven home by a driver they perceived as impaired. Note, the authors do not comment on possible at-risk behavior of non-impaired students. The total at-risk group was 55% male, 95% white, and 75% under 21. About two-thirds of the drivers were male.
The authors concluded that on any given weekend, one in six college students who attended a bar or party away from their campus residence placed themselves at risk for an alcohol-related traffic fatality, either by driving while impaired or riding with an impaired driver. They also concluded that legal deterrents, such as the increased minimum legal drinking age, have thus far had little impact on the drinking behaviour of college students. They note that males were more likely to become impaired and to drive home while impaired. As a result, they suggest that prevention efforts should focus on males, along with providing peer resistance strategies for women, since men are most likely to drive in dating situations. The authors also note that at-risk students were almost twice as likely to report riding with an impaired driver than driving themselves. They suggest that this decision may be made out of concern for personal legal consequences, or because they felt there were no alternatives. They recommend that prevention strategies that target risky behaviours but do not also address the issue of the availability of alternative transportation are unlikely to succeed. Finally, the authors note that campus and community policies which seek to restrict access to alcohol